big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I am Tom Pounder. And this is where student and online ministers go to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm bringing in my friend Dan Eno. In fact, Dan and I are on a road trip at the moment where we are going for interns and recruiting interns for New Life Christian Church in our summer ministry program. And Dan and I were in the car. This is actually a in-the-car conversation that we have, and we're talking about a book that we read a little bit ago called H3 Leadership, and we're just processing a little bit in the car because that's kind of what we do. We were just talking a lot. We had like 6 hours in the car together, so we were just talking about things, and this came up, and you know, I think it's an important topic of what we're going to talk about today, about leading by example, and how do you do that effectively as a ministry lead of over volunteers and over maybe other staffers. How do you do that effectively? And so we had a really good discussion about it. And so without any further ado, I'm just going to get into the conversation now with Dan Eno. But we're talking about leading by example and what does that look like. So let's get into the conversation now. All right, with me right now is Dan Eno. Dan, how are you doing?
We are 3 hours into this road trip, yeah. So I'm still hanging in there.
Yeah, okay, Dan, tell everyone what we're doing.
Oh, we are currently driving, barreling down the freeway, headed to a couple colleges to start planting seeds and spreading the news about our internships that we'll be having next summer. Hopefully get some people interested who would want to come out to New Life for the summer, some college students.
Yeah, and Corey and I did this last year, and I actually podcasted about why we did this, so I'll actually include a link of it in the show notes, but it is one of the important things we do in the fall to recruit for the summer, and Dan is joining me this year, and it's really kind of cool. Dan, just so people, because you've been on the podcast before.
Yes.
And just give everyone just a quick little background of, just in case they haven't heard one of the older podcasts, who are you and what do you do? And, yeah.
Okay, I'm Dan. I've been working for New Life for 3 years now. I am the worship and student guy at our Linton Hall campus, which is not the campus that Tom is at on Sundays, but we work together during the week, yep. Together working with students' ministries. So I am one of the few staff members at the other campus. It's a little smaller. We meet at a school. We're entirely portable. Lots of good things are happening there. And that's me.
Well, that's good. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. Well, you know, being on a long road trip, Dan and I get to have some really good conversations. And so one of the thoughts, we've just read a book recently called H3, and it's a leadership book. And so we were kind of processing some of the thoughts in that book, and Dan brought up a really good point that I thought would be good for all of us to kind of talk about and think through. And what was it that Brad said in the book that you were talking about that you just mentioned?
Well, he was talking about the principle that a lot of, you know, leadership books and writers have talked about of, you know, making sure the right people are on the team, or the analogy of, you know, getting the right people on the bus. And then in addition to having the right people on the team, you got to make sure that those people are in the right seats, doing the right jobs, to have the most effective team that you can. One of the things that Brad Lemenick, who wrote the book, specifically mentioned that I found interesting, was he said, it's important in an organization when you're considering who you're bringing onto the bus and who you're putting in the seats. There's a difference between talking and doing, and it's easy to talk a good talk, but if you don't get the people on the bus who are also doing, who are also the workers, who are also the people willing to get their hands dirty and do, not just talk about doing, but really do, you're not going to have an effective team if everybody on the team is just talkers. Meetings are important, and you got to communicate, but if all you're doing is meeting and not actually getting anything done, you're going to be at a loss.
Yeah, and I think that is so important. You have to have people on the right people on the bus doing the right things. But then I also think that as leaders, as the head people, again, Dan, you're in charge of worship and student ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in charge of student ministry and our online campus. If we're not participating, if we're not doing, if all we're doing is talking, then I don't think we're very effective in what we do. How do you feel about that?
I agree with you. I mean, we talk a lot about delegating. We talk a lot about setting up volunteers for success, and that's obviously important because you can't do everything. I can't do everything. We need people who are willing to come alongside and work to get the jobs that we need to get done. But at the same time, if all we're doing is passing out jobs and then kind of sitting back and watching everybody else work, we're not really going to be leading people well. We're not going to be leading by example, definitely, but we won't be inspiring, or we won't be motivating to those people because, I don't know, maybe they'll start feeling like we're just using them to make our lives easier.
Dude, I completely agree with you on that one because, like, for instance, I'll give a real life, and let's get into some practicals of how this looks, but I'll tell you where it looks like for me is that, you know, I just led a training on small group leadership. How do you run an effective small group? Now, listen, I can go on my experience as a student minister. I've been in student ministry for a really long time. I've led a lot of different small groups. But if I'm talking about leading small groups and how to do them effectively, and I'm not actually doing one myself, then what I'm saying is null and void because, one, my teaching could be old, and I could be basing it off of stuff I did in the early 2000s or the 1990s, for example, which is true. I've done that before. But I need to actually be putting it into practice as well because then my teaching is that much more effective because I'm actually learning along with them. And, in fact, I actually had a student, one of our volunteers, say to me during the training, she said, yeah, you are the student minister. You should be doing a small group. You shouldn't be just talking about it. You should be doing it. And that's the thing. Everything that we talk about and everything that we teach our volunteers, we need to have done it ourselves, or else we're just talking about it. Or we should, you know, just tell them to read a book. You know, does that make sense?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
So what is a practical thing for you? If you can go worship, or you can even go student ministry.
Well, how about I go both?
Okay, good.
I mean, from the worship perspective, obviously I have to lead the band every week, and that's not really what I'm thinking about when I'm thinking about leading by example so much. But, you know, like I said, the Linton Hall campus, we are completely portable. We show up on Sunday mornings and transform their gym into our auditorium. There's a lot of work that goes into that, and then at the end of the day, we have to undo everything we did, pack it all up into a trailer, and wait until next week. And I feel that it's important for me to be the first one there, the last one to leave, because that is setting a precedent for the volunteers who are thankfully willing to come and help. But if I'm not there, if I show up late, if I, you know, leave as soon as the services are done and just leave it on them, that's going to communicate to them that either I'm too good for the work that I'm asking them to do, or that I don't think that it's really important, which then will say, why are they doing it? Why should they think it's important? With student ministry, more so, one of the things I've been trying to do is not be a go do this, go do that, here's what I need you to do, here's what I need you to do kind of trainer and say, you know, do this, do that, do the other, but actually say, hey, can you come alongside me? Here's what I'm doing. Can you work with me and then be able to replicate that later on your own, so that it's not just me giving directions, but first and foremost, it's me inviting them to come along to something I'm already doing, but with the intention of then asking them to do it on their own at some point in the future after they've been built up, after they've been trained, and feel like they can handle it. So that's kind of empowering, because I'm not just pointing and saying, go do this, but I'm actually, you know, giving them my expertise and my style and the way I do things, and being able to communicate those, I think is really helpful to the volunteers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you're leading by example. And again, I understand there are going to be times when you have to ask someone to do something and to really help push them and excel them in their own leadership that you may not be very familiar with, and or that you're not good at. Like, for instance, I need a worship person for student ministry. I have no expertise whatsoever.
True.
In leading student worship. I have no musical bone whatsoever in me. That's why I utilize people like Dan all the time to lead worship, because you're so gifted at it. This is not to be confused with helping people maximize their gifting in areas where they need to excel, and bringing on people, like what Dan said earlier, bringing on people, the right people on the bus. So you need to surround yourselves with people that are equipped to do things that you're not able to do. You know, again,
sure,
with student ministry, we're not always the best at organizing, although you're better than I am at doing that kind of stuff and detailed oriented. You need different people to help you along the way. But if you're not leading by example, if you're not participating, if you're not doing things with students or in whatever context of ministry you're involved with, then I don't think you're as effective as you can be. And we talked about this off before, but you know, we have a campus pastor at Chantilly that for volunteers, for setup, he is there just as early as everyone else is there, setting things up, breaking things down. He is actually working alongside of the volunteers, and that shows a lot to other people, and that demonstrates that you care about them, but then you also care about what is actually happening. You're not just delegating it completely off to people. You're participating along with them, and that's, he views that as part of his ministry, and I think that's very effective.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Even if you build your volunteers and your team up to the point where you are completely unnecessary, which really I think is what we're all trying to aim toward, is where we have built into our teams enough and they know what's going on, they're confident, they're capable, they can take it and run with it, and they don't need you there. Even if you get to that point, I still don't think that gives us a pass to not be there with them, to not be working alongside with them to get the job done. Because, you know, we always need to be setting that example of the importance of the work.
Yeah, dude, I'm so glad you actually said that, because that is so good. I think that's right on. I think we should end with that, because that it's just a key point right there that we're, even when we are unnecessary, we're still leading by example.
Yeah.
And if we stop leading by example, then we're going to lose our effectiveness. And so I think that's a great point. So the encouragement today really is, what can you be doing today to be leading with your leaders and to be showing them and demonstrating that leadership that you have by being a part of what they're doing? We can't just talk about it. We actually have to do some stuff as well. So, well, Dan, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. We still got solid 3 hours or so to go, so anywhere.
We're not going to podcast this. We're not going to podcast in 3 hours.
The podcast can be over.
Okay, good. All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Dan about talking about leading by example. And so let's get very practical. What does it look like for you right now to lead by example? We gave a few of our own illustrations. I would love to hear from you. Share with me on Twitter at TA Pounder, or hit me up on email, tom@ymsidekick.com. I would love to hear what you do to lead by example. What are some things that you've found to be very effective in that? All right, heroes. Well, thanks for joining me so much today. I really appreciate it. I've got more podcasts lined up every Wednesday, so make sure you go to iTunes and subscribe to this, because every Wednesday I've got fresh content coming out. And if you go to ympsychic.com, I've got fresh blogs and vlogs, as well as my podcast on there as well. So sign up and make sure you go to ympsychic.com and get some more fresh content. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the week, and I'll see you next time.